This is a character with whom I had some sympathy. I had an emotional response to the ideas that are part and parcel of the character and the piece as a whole. It's a character different to something that I've played lately. It presents new opportunities, new challenges. There was a director attached to the project, Alan Pakula, whose work I admired, respected. And all of those elements taken together helped me make my decision to do it.
And in line with the character, could you comment on one of the quotes you have in the film when I think Dennehy says, your idealism has been torn to shreds, and you shrug and say, well, shreds are all I have left.
In respect of
what does that tell us about this guy? Is he clinging maybe to a dream that's gone? Or
No, he's a character, he's a character for whom ideals are important, regardless of whether they are compromised by his experience or not. That what's important is to maintain ideals and standards, irregardless of what circumstances are.
It's a kind of a dogged quality. Is that part of the quality you say that it attracted you?
Well, I'm not sure that dogged puts the nicest face on it. I think it's he's a character who has high moral standards, and what makes the circumstances interesting is that he falls short of his own standards and becomes involved in an affair with a woman that becomes a compulsive, obsessive relationship.
Do you see him as a...
Clearly the former rather than the latter. For economy's sake, I won't go back over it. It's very well stated. This is a situation that that develops out of circumstances that they become involved in a case where they work together at her insistence. She's very manipulative. She's successful at manipulating him into becoming involved in a case where she needs his help. She's ambitious for ambitious in her career, and she wants to win this case, which she becomes involved in, a case which they both become emotionally involved in. And in context of the intimacy that results from working together, he's drawn into this affair with her. She is a person whom he resisted heroically, even when first they meet, because he thinks that she's not she's come into the office in an inappropriate way, that she might not have the qualities necessary to be successful in that job. And in the context of this case, I think he learns to, he softens towards her. He begins to admire her work as an attorney. It happens. I went to Detroit and was given access to all of the attorneys and processes of the Wayne County Prosecuting Attorney's Office. I was not so much anxious to see courtroom behavior, which I had seen before, but to have a chance to observe the more banal aspects of their lives and jobs. I wanted really to see such little details as how they handled a file when somebody... People are constantly... quickly reviewing files and things like that. That's the sort of thing I was interested in. How they behaved with their adversaries, not in the courtroom, but at the coffee machine or in the judge's chambers. I was looking for detail, as well as looking for a sense of place. This takes place in in a mythical city in the Midwest identified as being in Kendall County. I needed for my own requirement for particularity to know a place and to remind myself as well of what it was in general to be a Midwesterner. I grew up in Chicago, but I've been 25 years on the West Coast among a very different tribe.
Where is Chicago?
Oh.
No, I know where it's at. That's around.
Yeah. I grew up on the north side, Sheridan and Sunnyside, and then moved to Morton Grove, lived in Park Ridge.
You were there all the way through high school?
I went to high school in Park Ridge, and after that I went away to college and came back occasionally. My parents lived in the on the near north side in Old Town, so I spent some time there.
Were the prosecutors, when you saw them at the copy machines on the file?
I didn't feel that way about them. I think that lawyers who are actors in the courtroom are at great risk of getting caught making believe, when in fact I think my experience and belief is that there's a lot more to it, practice of law and trial law, and it's a lot more intricate than just make believe. Which is not to say that that's what I think acting is, but given the question put that way, that's what I would have to say. Can I?
I just wanted to
ask. There was a feeling of industry and in Chicago, a kind of energy that I really found attractive. I really, and as well, I love the architecture of Chicago and having the lake there and all.
Besides the Midwestern connection, what else?
A bit of this and a bit of that from every experience of my life. I can't really say specifically how you arrive at what you do, but you pick behavior which is in service of and demonstrates ideas. Otherwise, there's no way to, you know, you're just doing party tricks otherwise. So you really have to work, you work differently than that. You identify the ideas in the script and as precisely as you can, and then you create behavior for your character that's consistent with your character and his place in the story, which helps to illustrate and those ideas.
This seems a particularly internalized role. I mean, suffering. I mean, a lot of it has to do with what comes through your eyes rather than actions. I mean, what would you say? Was that the greatest challenge, or perhaps was something else?
No, I didn't feel constrained by that. As well as this character, who is described as having the cork in too tight, there are opportunities when that's his behavior in one kind of situation. That's his professional behavior. When we see him at home, secure with his wife, beset by the events that occur, he cracks. We see another side of him without the opportunity to express other sides of his nature. It would not be a terribly interesting part to play.
And for you, what did you find any aspect at all especially challenging, or something that you had to probe deeper to get to?
No, the difficulty is in deciding what to do, for deciding how to do it, how to express an idea, what kind of behavior to use to demonstrate an idea. The acting of it is something that is for me, it's the easiest part.
For example, the prolonged scene where tears come down your cheek. Talk about internalization. I mean, you literally are doing nothing. Tell me about some of the mechanics of
listening. Is never nothing.
Exactly.
Listening is an active activity. It is you know, you may not move around, you may not swing for trees or hit anybody, but you still have the, you have to be available to what happens, and you have to let it show.
So when that was being shot, that speech is actually being read to you. That's what I meant about the mechanics of that scene.
Are you talking about the last scene? Yeah. Let's not say what it's about. But yeah, that, of course, the not just being read to me, but the actress is acting for me, and given an actress of the quality and professional standards that Bonnie Bedelia has, it's a lot easier than you might imagine.
Retakes must be very difficult in situations like that.
I found that the tear rolled in within 5 words of the place it rolled in the take before, for some reason that there, you know, as much as I think of myself as a technical actor and am totally aware of the mechanics of the business, there is something mysterious that happens, and I know no more about it than you do, except that I have faith in it and trust it to happen.
Inasmuch as your hair changes from roll to roll, I doubt if it's a minor detail, the decision about cutting it short.
Oh, no, it's like not. It was not a minor detail.
What goes into that?
Well, I wanted to, there are many things that I found that I could express by virtue of getting that haircut. First and most simple of all is that I wanted to tell people to leave their baggage at home, to not expect this to be the Harrison Ford that they've met any other place. Second of all, I wanted to create a character who was not vain, who had no personal vanity, and because I felt that would help characterize the nature of the infidelity, his relationship with his woman. He was not a compulsive counter of coup. He was not. This is something extraordinary that happened to him. As well, I wanted to create a character who was not as hip, not as fashionable as the woman with whom he had an affair. I wanted to create a character that was conservative by nature and by choice. And so all of those things, I think, were helped by the haircut. Scott Turow weaves in the events, and I love the play of language in the book. I love the way he writes. I went to meet him before we started rehearsals in Chicago, and it wasn't really to ask him questions about the character or the book or anything. I don't think we talked about the book or the character at all. We met for the first time, and we talked about the things people normally talk about when they meet for the first time: the weather and their children and where they live and all the rest of it. But really what I was looking for was a sense of the point of view from which the book was written.
Was there a...
But they're mechanical changes, and I think the beast still looks the same, but it's built in a different way. The book, of course, as you seem to have read it, is a first-person narrative. And so a lot of what was internal to Rusty Savage's had to be given dramatic form, had to be brought out of his head. So that difference exists as well. The way suspense and suspicion are handled is different than in the book. But I think we are very faithful. It was our intention to be faithful to the book on account of how much we admired it. This is not the royal we. I'm talking about Pakula. Oh, it's very, I mean, it part of the pleasure of it is that it's that it has a degree of complication. I don't want to reduce it to some very simple expression. But I liked what it had to say about people, about this kind, about this character, about the criminal justice system, about politics, about personal relationships. And I liked the irony of it all. I liked the fact that in some sense a kind of rough justice did obtain. As much as the criminal justice system is described as flawed on account of, really on account of the people that practice it, it is nonetheless the best system we have, and people are as good as they can be. And in this particular case, justice prevailed, ironically, and bizarrely, maybe, but justice did prevail.
It strengthened your own feeling of faith in the criminal system, and the
as a system, I have faith in it, but I have very little faith in any system. Finally,
Was it a system that the lawyers that you met in Chicago researching, did they demonstrate cynicism about what they were doing at all?
No. It was Detroit, by the way, but where I did my research. I think while they may become cynical about people, I don't think they become cynical, or it wasn't my experience that they have become cynical about the law. But then I met, of course, people that were on their best behavior, and everyone was familiar with the book. All the lawyers that I, and judges that I spoke to, all the cops that I talked to had read the book and knew about it.
But after all, in the end, we got the murders.
I suppose what is being said is that what she did caused her suffering. She did pass it around. To her husband and all. This is, again, we're dealing with the ending here, and I really don't want to do that. We're dealing with the whole trick of the plot, and so I must confine myself by not talking about that.
Regarding that,
it was a condition of the situation, but I found that people that read the book were nonetheless entertained by how. We managed to portray it. That's a very good question that you asked me, and I'm really sorry that I'm not able to confront it. It
your
really
character makes a statement, and which is not true. She could, of course, have been tried. I mean, they hedge a little bit in the movie. They say, as a practical matter, you could, but there's no reason she couldn't be tried.
The language is very specific there. As a practical matter, seems to indicate that there are political reasons and for not trying her. Under the law, it is possible that she might have been tried. The ending of the book concerns itself with the punishment of the. Perpetrator of this particular crime, but we didn't feel emotionally that we could sustain the audience's interest. This is, after all, in large degree a whodunit, and once you find out who done it, it's time to pack up and go home. Case is closed. What we wanted to indicate, and tying it all up in a bow and putting it in a neat package, also is not fair to the complexity of it all. So when I say that a rough justice was obtained, it may not be justice obtained for the particular crime that occurred, but people were changed by this event. People who committed indiscretions were punished in a way. It is a dramatic device. I think it's fair and reasonable to say that this sort of thing does happen under the system. In the book, I will trust your discretion in not dwelling on this. I can't, because it's not fair. It's not fair for me to do this, because we're talking about the ending, and we mustn't do that. It's not fair.
This seems to be a ground.
I'm ambitious to get it right. I'm, given a particular task and a particular role, I am ambitious and tenacious about getting it as right as I have the time and the talent to get it. But in terms of career ambitions, I am not particularly ambitious. No. I mean, I have had great luck to be in films that have been successful enough so that I have the opportunity to do what I want to do, things that I understand and I'm attracted to, and don't have to do other things. I don't have to work when I don't want to. But I don't have an ambition to do certain kinds of roles. I take on targets of opportunity when they come.
Bonnie Bedelia said that this, to her, this is one of the best cast movies she's been in.
I was told that they were working on a script and that I would get a look at it when it was finished. And I looked at it and I liked it, and we went on from there. I also agree that this is a terrific cast, and it was a great pleasure to work with all of these actors.
In line with what he was saying, can you find as much fulfillment and realization and pleasure in fixing a faucet or crafting something in wood then as you can in a role? That is to say, each of them give you the same kind of opportunity for craft and enthusiasm and all of that. It's not a question of ambition so much.
No.
You can lump them together like that with it?
Well,
I mean, I'm lumping them together.
Given that that's my mythology, I'm forced to accept it. But it is true. I take pleasure in doing things to the best of my ability, and whether it's that kind of thing or some other thing. I'm also the kind of person that straightens up the piles on his desk.
What's that? You have a line about shining the black shoes before the brown ones in an interview I read once, things like that.
I'm fortunate enough to have a certain amnesia about my movies.
You don't seem to take credit for the success of the Lucas Spielberg movies. I mean, and yet it's your appeal that has made them partly what they are.
No,
I mean, they wouldn't have been there
well,
without part, you.
Well, partly what they are is what is the fair and operative phrase here. I'm only part of a great machine, and happily so.
Do you ever speculate as to what it is that people find appealing in you?
It is not of value to make those kinds of speculations and those kind of thoughts to me. I think it's fair to say, though, that people's reaction to an actor is the result of the characters that they have played and the experience that they've had with that with those characters, not a reaction to who that person really is necessarily.
You responded negatively to the suggestion about lawyers being actors, but I think it's certainly true that particularly trial lawyers have a certain theatricality about them that they value and look forward to. Do you think
that to me is the central similarity between them? Is their joy in the language? And a pleasure in defining things particularly. But no, I did respond negatively to saying that the lawyers are actors, I meant only to say that there's a lot more going on behind the lawyer, as well as there's a great deal more going on behind the actor's process than just standing and delivering. It's the preparation and the intelligence that goes into preparation and the understanding of the law and the imagination in choosing which path to follow preparing to be persuasive. Without the preparation, without the background, a lawyer who's purely theatrical hasn't got a chance in hell. He's going to be undercut by somebody that's simple, methodical, thoughtful, and plain. Much longer going on with this question because I don't know.
We do have time for just one more question.
It's a reasonable question. I don't know.
What are you working on
next?
Huh? What are you working on
next? I do know. Well, I've got an idea. And that is that people find themselves defenseless when they're in love. And without, they have their usual defenses. It's the time people feel, I think, most defenseless. And there's a pleasure in giving up your defenses and a danger. I'm sorry, what was you saying?
What were you working on next?
I'm going to do a picture with Mike Nichols in September called Regarding Henry here in New York. Regarding Henry.
A word about what it is about?
It's very complicated. It's a story of a successful New York lawyer who has a wife and child, lovely wife, lovely child, perfect New York apartment, every aspect and reward of success, who is nonetheless a miserable human being with terrible relationships with his family and the people that he works with, and a purely cynical point of view about life, who goes out one night to get a pack of cigarettes and gets shot in the head. And he awakes from a coma, a total amnesiac. He has no memory of who he is, who his family is, where he came from, what he's doing. And he has to learn to walk and talk, and he has the opportunity to reinvent his life in a totally different context. And it is a case history of a head injury. It's not. It is a movie fable with those circumstances. So it has a lot of warmth, and it has a lot of. It pulls in every direction. It
sounds like an actor building a role. Who am I? Each time you go into a film, it's a little bit like you're building up an identity.
Except that an actor always works from his own experience. And robbed of that, you're really in trouble.
Who plays the wife?
Annette Bening from Valmont. She's a terrific actress. Thank you all very much.
Thanks very much.
I've done this.
I'm enjoying New York.
How am I enjoying New York? I have seen very little of it.
I've done a sketch of you. I wonder if I might trouble you to sign it for me.
Very good. You're very talented.
Just your name and the date in New York.
That's great. I can't even see the numbers.
That's funny.
No, it's really very good.
Well, thank you.
I did one of you. Oh,